السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you today about a matter that is of the ultimate importance, and that is the matter of being judged as successful before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the day of judgment in many places in the Quran, but in one place He jalla jalaluhu told us about the only thing that will benefit us on that day. Since the day of judgment is something that we will all face, whether we like it or not, it is essential to understand what that critical requirement is that will save us from failure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the meaning of which is the day on which neither wealth nor sons, neither money, power, nor family connections will be of any benefit, except him who brings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qalbun salim, a heart that is tranquil, a heart that is peaceful, a heart that is free from shirk and nifaq, a heart that is pure, a heart that is not sick. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described those whose hearts are sick, diseased, troubled and unsound, and He spoke of heart disease, a cardiac illness that will not be cured and which will continue to trouble the person even after he is dead. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّ بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and of mankind there are some hypocrites who say, we believe in Allah in the last day, while in fact they don't believe. وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, they are not among the believers. Even those they say, قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, they say Allah is our Rabb. They say, يَعَمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, they are not believers. And Allah said that they think they deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they think that they deceive those who believe, but they only deceive themselves, and even of this they are not aware. In their hearts is a disease, and that disease is the disease of doubt and hypocrisy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased their disease, and a painful torment is theirs because they used to tell lies. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned hypocrisy not only as a fatal spiritual disease, but promised to punish those who have it. And then He clarified it as being the tendency to tell lies. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us all from this disease, but remind myself and ask you respectfully to see if we have this tendency in our lives, the tendency to tell lies and to support falsehood, the tendency of being two-faced, of speaking with a forked tongue. You hear this term in Western movies about the Red Indians, the Native Americans, when they are referring to the Great White Father, who is the American head of state or the head of the army, and they say he spoke with a forked tongue. Interestingly, snakes have forked tongues, and though in reality snakes are perfectly truthful and trustworthy, in human philosophy and literature they are the symbol of treachery and deceit. So what of people who speak with real forked tongues and are true-faced, and are two-faced truly and in reality? It is a symbol of intelligence to be able to hold two opposing views simultaneously in your mind. It is a symbol of hypocrisy to be able to hold two opposing beliefs simultaneously in your heart. Of course, those who make tawbah and become truthful have nothing to fear, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to accept all repentance. The big question is, how do I diagnose the condition of my heart? Let me clarify one thing. The word we use to translate the Arabic word qalb is heart. However, Strictly speaking, that is not correct. The qalb is not merely a muscle pumping blood. It is, in the English language, there is a differentiation between head, intellect and heart, emotion. However, this is a contrived difference. Neither medical science nor Islamic thought and understanding support this differentiation. We humans don't think and feel in two distinct compartments. Our feelings and emotions are the foundation of our thoughts and actions, which in turn influence our emotions and influence our attitudes. It is a composite dynamic relationship. Islamic thought recognizes that reality, and so the qalb, Islamically speaking, is the seat of intellect and emotion dynamically related, which results in action. That is why even to enter Islam, the first condition before even declaring the shahada verbally is to accept the shahada in the qalb. Tasdeeq bil qalb. We don't say Al-Fahm bil-Aql. We say Tasdeeq bil-Qalb. We don't say understanding in the mind. We say accepting in the heart. And this refers not only to understanding what is meant, but bearing witness to it, accepting it without reservation, standing by it and living by it. So Islam begins with the qalb and is expressed by the body when we speak the words of shahada, and then we act on it by praying and establishing salah and paying zakat and following the other pillars of Islam. And that's the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the salah the differentiator between the Muslim and the non-Muslim, where he said in the hadith, where he said, Al-ahadu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah. Waman aradaha faqad kafara. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. He said the differentiating line, the ahad, the covenant, the promise, the what differentiates us from them, meaning the believers from the non-believers, is salah. And he said the one who leaves it has committed kufr, has left Islam. Now why this huge importance on salah? Because the salah is the physical manifestation of the kalima. What is the kalima? The kalima is that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Wa Muhammadur Rasulullah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the Rasul, is the messenger, and the final and the last one after whom there is none other. Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The manifestation of that is I said that Allah is my Rabb, therefore I worship Allah. I said Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is my Nabi, and therefore I worship Allah the way Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So accepting Muhammad Rasulullah is not an intellectual proposition. You are not recognizing the leader of the Arabs. You are recognizing and saying that I follow him completely and totally, the fundamental foundational following of which begins with that which declares Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as la ilaha illahu. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say about salah? He said sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. He did not say pray like you have, like Allah has described in the Quran. He said pray as you see me pray. And therefore, Muhammadur Rasulullah, the manifestation of Muhammadur Rasulullah is the salah. The manifestation of La ilaha illallah is the salah. And therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who leaves that salah has left La ilaha illallah and Muhammadur Rasulullah. Therefore, he has committed kufr. This is not a simple matter. When we say the kalima, and that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who says the kalima with ikhlas, he will enter Jannah. The Sahaba asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what is the ikhlas of the kalima? And now the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the ikhlas of the kalima is that it keeps you away from haram. This is the ikhlas of the kalima. Islam is the meaning of action. Islam is not a theological concept. Islam is not a philosophy. Islam is not a thought form. Islam is the meaning of action. If you are not acting, then you have to question your Islam. And this is exactly the meaning of qalbun salim. Because the qalb which is salim results in actions of salama. There is no qalbun salim which results in actions which are disruptive, which cause problems. The qalbun salim is manifested by actions of salama, actions of harmony, of peace, of tranquility, of safety, of goodness for all those who are in the world with us. My brothers and sisters, if I ask you to look into your heart and tell me what you see. If I'm asking you this now, look into your heart, tell me what you see. Can you answer me? Right? I mean, you can't answer. This sounds like a dumb question, right? I mean, what is the meaning of, may not be a dumb question, but certainly a question you don't understand. What is the meaning of look into your heart? If I tell you look into your pocket, what do you see? You will tell me. But if I tell you look into your heart, what do you see? You have no idea what I'm saying. Although the heart is closer to you than your pocket. The heart is inside you, the pocket is outside you. Right? You can live without your pocket, you can't live without your heart. But you have no clue what to do with that heart. And if you think that this question of mine is wrong, then let me ask you this question. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu called the heart an organ of perception. Allah called it an organ of perception. And if I tell you look into the heart and see what there is, it's not a question that I invented. It's a question that is mentioned in the Quran. So it's a legitimate question. The fact that you don't understand it, I don't understand it, I can't explain it, you can't understand, so on, doesn't make any difference. It is a legitimate question which is mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. I mentioned this many times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this story and he said, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعْهُ السَّعْيَا قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي يَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Look, what do you see? قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرُ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing this so beautifully. Allah says, when his son was old enough to walk with him, he's talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam's son, Ismail alayhi salam. And he said, when Ismail alayhi salam was old enough to walk with his father. And as I've said many times before, it's very easy to understand. When he's old enough to walk with his father does not mean he's 40 years old. It does not mean he's 20 years old. Old enough to walk meaning that is the big thing in his life right now. So little boy, you're talking about a little boy, whatever the age is, old enough to walk with his father. We're not talking about a great philosopher. We're not talking about a Hafiz Quran. Of course, there was no Quran at that time. We're not talking about somebody who was Mufti Azam of the time. We're talking about a little boy. And this little boy was brought up by a single mother. Hazrat alayhi salam, she brought him upon her own, because that from the time he was a little newborn boy, he was left in the desert by Ibrahim alayhi salam, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, and Ibrahim alayhi salam went away, and the mother of Ismail alayhi salam was the single parent who brought up Ismail alayhi salam up to that point. The little boy actually never saw his father. He may have seen him, but obviously a newborn baby cannot be said to recognize his father. So the first time that he is seeing his father is at that time. And what happens? The father comes, takes him for a walk and tells him that I have seen in my dream that I am slaughtering you for the sake of Allah. Ajib. First time you see the little kid, you're telling him you are killing him. Huh? And then what does he do? Even more ajib. He is telling him, look, fanzur, maza tara, what do you see? Look, what do you see? Now in the translations, you will find many times the translation comes, look, what do you think? But tara is not think. Tara is see. Look, what do you see? Now, translation is not wrong in the sense that, okay, they are saying, what do you see, meaning, therefore, what is your opinion, so on, so on. But Ibrahim alayhi salam is not asking for an opinion, because you ask opinions of learned people. You don't ask opinions of little kids. He's saying, look, what do you see? Legitimate question. Fanzur maza tara. If I ask you, fanzur maza tara, what will you tell me? Look, what do you see? And what is the answer? He looked and he saw. What did he see? He saw a qalbun salim. Complete obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does he say? He says, oh my father, do whatever you have been commanded to do. Insha'Allah, you will find me among the people who have sabr. Insha'Allah. Why? Why doesn't he say, do whatever you have to do, I will have sabr? Because when was the last time you got slaughtered? How do you know you have sabr? How do you know what happens to you when the knife cuts your throat? He said, Insha'Allah. If Allah wills. My brothers and sisters, I ask you, this is a little boy. Where does he get this from? Where does he get it from? Of course, he's a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. Therefore, he has the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with him, but it is the mother and her upbringing. Single parent. How does she bring up that child in such a way that he is obedient to Allah, he is obedient to his father, even when the father is saying something which is apparently unreasonable. But he understands who is saying it. It can't be unreasonable. My father is the Nabi of Allah. He is telling me the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can it be unreasonable? Your fathers are not anbiya. But when your fathers tell you about the hukam of Allah, it's still the hukam of Allah. Your father did not receive that wahi, but he is communicating the wahi that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received. What is your attitude towards that? May not be your father, maybe your teacher, maybe somebody else is communicating to you the hukam of Allah. What is your attitude towards that? Think about that. The stories of the Quran are not meant for entertainment. They're meant for us to reflect on and for us to change our lives. Very important for us. My brothers and sisters, Ridha bil Qada is the result of Qalbun Salim. Even when the slave is asked what he wants, he says, I want whatever you want. Ibrahim alayhi salam said that when he was tied up and placed in the bowl of the catapult, ready to be thrown into the fire. The king of Babylon at that time was this man called Namrud. And we know the whole story of how it came to be that Ibrahim alayhi salam was to be thrown into the fire. They lighted this huge fire, and it got so big that they couldn't go near it. So they had to throw Ibrahim alayhi salam. So they brought a siege engine, they brought a trebuchet, and they tied him up and they put him in the bowl of the trebuchet, and they are about to fire it. And Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi writes in his tafsir, in his history, he says that Jibreel alayhi salam came to Ibrahim alayhi salam at that point in time and said, tell me, what can I do for you? And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, you cannot do anything for me. I will not ask you. Now remember, this is a person talking to another person from two different dimensions. But this is not talking, this is not like asking a favor from somebody who is dead. No. Jibreel alayhi salam is alive. Jibreel alayhi salam is a Rasul of Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam is also a Rasul of Allah. So if Ibrahim alayhi salam had asked Jibreel alayhi salam whatever it was he wanted him to do, it was not shirk, it was not anything wrong. Also, you know and I know that Jibreel alayhi salam is a malak, he is an angel. And the malaika don't do things on their own. Jibreel alayhi salam cannot take it upon himself to decide to go somewhere and do something. No, these are the hakam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Jibreel alayhi salam comes and says, tell me, what can I do for you? Ibrahim alayhi salam says, nothing. Jibreel alayhi salam goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And Allah knows. Allah does not need Jibreel alayhi salam to inform him. Allah knows. He says, Ya Rabbal Alameen, your Rasul, your Khalil is about to be burnt. And I went to him and asked him, what can I do for you? He refuses to take my help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go back to him and tell him, I sent you. And I am asking, what does he want? Jibreel alayhi salam goes back. And he says, Allah has sent me. And your Rabb wants to know, what do you want? He says, my Rabb does not need to ask. कहा कि मेरे रब को मांगने की का मोहताज नहीं है. मेरा रब मांगने का मोहताज नहीं है, पूछने का मोहताज नहीं है. What does he, what do you want? I want whatever you want. You want me to burn? I am ready to burn. You want me not to burn? That is your khudrat. What do I want? I want whatever you want. And my brothers and sisters, when the slave removed all asbab from between himself and his Rabb removed all asbab from between himself and his slave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then did not tell Jibreel to do anything, alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then did not tell anyone to do anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly addressed the fire. And Allah told us this. Kulna ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Allah is talking to the fire. Ya nar. Kulna ya nar kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. O fire, become a means of safety. Cool down and become a means of safety for Ibrahim alayhi salam. I ask you to reflect on what the people were seeing. The people who were throwing Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire did not see this entire interaction happening. They did not see Jibreel coming. They did not see Ibrahim talking to anybody. They didn't see anything of that. What they saw was success. They saw success. They saw that they tied up Ibrahim alayhi salam, put him into the trebuchet. Somebody said fire, they fired. Ibrahim alayhi salam flew through the air. He tied up like a bundle and fell into the middle of the fire. The crowd cheered. The people said, wow, fantastic, we burnt him. They saw success. Yes or no? But Ibrahim alayhi salam knew what real success was. Because when he went into the fire, Allah said, become a means of coolness and safety for Ibrahim, not for the rope which tied Ibrahim. So the fire burned the rope. The fire burned the rope, but the fire did not touch the skin of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which was tied up by the rope. Ibrahim alayhi salam, the fire became a garden for Ibrahim, but the people standing around, for them the fire was still the fire. The fire was still a means of harm for them. They could not go near the fire. And that is why when Ibrahim alayhi salam walked out of the fire, freed, the rope had been burnt. The people were astonished. They said, how did this happen? How did it happen? But what is this state of Ibrahim alayhi salam's qalb that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed this to us as a sign of His glory and majesty? And that qalb of Ibrahim alayhi salam, a qalb in which there was no argument. There were no questions, no conditions, no hesitation. Just willing, loving, enthusiastic obedience. He did not say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When his Rabb said to him, submit, he said, I have submitted to the Rabbul Alameen. He did not say, I will submit. He said, I have submitted. Submit, I have submitted. No hesitation whatsoever. My brothers and sisters, I submit to you that there is no blind obedience in Islam. There is obedience with real understanding. Not of the order itself perhaps, but of the one giving that order. Did Ismail alayhi salam understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to be sacrificed? Did Ibrahim alayhi salam understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to sacrifice his son? Remember, at that time when this hukum was given, neither of them knew that actually no harm would be done. Actually the son would not be sacrificed. Actually Allah will send a ram instead of as a sacrifice for the sacrifice. They did not know any of this. Here was an order, sacrifice your son. Did they understand why? But they obeyed. Why did they obey? Not because they understood the order. Not because they considered the order to be logical and understandable and scientific and reasonable and so on. No. They obeyed only for one reason. Why? Because Allah said so. And why do I obey Allah's order? Not because I understand the order, but because I know who Allah is. I know who Allah is. And when I know who Allah is, not obeying Him is not an option. I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves me. In one hadith, the last of it, inshallah, maybe next time I will narrate the whole hadith. Last of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa bi izzati wa jalal. He said, by my izzah and my jalal, by my glory and my majesty, I love you, so love me. Eh? What is this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I always tell people, fill your heart with desire. Don't reject desire. Fill your heart with desire. What desire? The desire for Allah. The desire to connect with Allah. The desire for love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fill your heart with that desire. It's the human nature. We only work for things which we desire. Nobody works for something they don't desire. We say we desire good health, but we don't go to the gym. Why? Because we really don't desire good health. If you really desire good health, then you will do what it takes to have good health. Otherwise, you are lying to yourself. Simple as that. If you really desire good health, then you will do what it takes to have good health. So when we say we desire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu's connection, the question to ask is, do I really desire this? Or is there the disease of nifaq in my heart, where I'm saying something that is not in my heart? My brothers and sisters, you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you know who is ordering. You understand His majesty and grace. You have a connection and a relationship with Him. You know that He orders only for your benefit, because He does not benefit or lose in any way. And that He has the power to do whatever He wishes. And that His will always prevails. And then you obey with joy. There is no struggle for submission. The struggle for submission is a sign of the weakness of iman. It's a sign of not understanding who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. The one who understands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no struggle. And therefore it is necessary to work to build this relationship, which is the only one which is forever. Everything else ends, except our relationship with our Rabb and with His infinite mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, my slave, you want and I want. But nothing will occur except what I want. So if you obey me in what I want, I will give you what you want. But if you disobey me in what I want, I will tire you out seeking what you want, and then nothing will occur except what I want. It's your choice. You want to live obeying Allah, then what you want will happen. If you want to pursue what you want in opposition to what Allah wants, then Allah will not stop you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow you to pursue that until you are exhausted. And then what Allah wants will happen. What sense does it make, therefore, to run behind something which we want when it is in opposition to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants? My brothers and sisters, as I mentioned to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the heart an organ of perception. When He said about those who are blind to the truth, in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا أَوْ أَذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have they not traveled the earth? Have they not traveled through the land? And do they have hearts with which to understand, and ears with which to hear? Verily, it is not the eyes that go blind, but it is the hearts in the breasts which grow blind. The heart is an organ of perception, of understanding. Now, brothers and sisters, understanding is coupled with seeing, because understanding defines the line between looking and seeing. Everyone who has eyes can look. They can look at something, but only those with understanding know the meaning of what they are looking at. And that is what we call seeing. To understand the meaning of what you are looking at, is to see. It is knowledge that brings about understanding, not material tools. If you don't understand what you are looking at it through binoculars will not help you. You will still be looking. You need knowledge to understand the meaning of the sign and to understand that all signs indicate actions that must be taken or that must be avoided. Understanding automatically leads or should lead to beneficial action. We use the word see to mean understand. Even in our ordinary speech, when we say, I see what you mean, do you see what I mean, and all of this. So seeing is a sign, and seeing a sign, therefore, is to understand its meaning and how that relates to you, and the sign of that understanding is to take action that is beneficial. If you see a red light and you think it is street decoration, then you have looked at a red light, but you don't understand what a red light means. But a person who sees a red light, not looks at a red light, a person who sees a red light, he stops. Why? One, because he understands what it means. And secondly, because he knows that his personal welfare is directly related to obeying that sign. If you do not stop at a red light, then you are likely to kill yourself. And therefore the person stops. These two things are simultaneous. You see the sign and you see how it relates to you. And therefore you obey that sign. That is the difference between looking and seeing. My brothers and sisters, we use the word, so therefore anyone who claims to see a sign but does not act according to its message has either not seen the sign or does not understand its meaning. And that is why, that is what is meant by seeing the signs, the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To look at the signs, to look at the ayat, to understand their meaning, and to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the only one worthy of worship, and then to worship Him. Worship Him alone, without partners, because He has no partners. The revelation began with this, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word iqra, read, and then mentioned His creation. Why does Allah say read and then mention creation? Because to see and understand is to read the meanings of things. Because read here means read the signs, understand their meaning, see the signs, recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His signs. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahari la ayatin li ulil albab. Ayat. الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. الله سبحانه وتعالى in Surah Al Imran, in this beautiful ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of the night and the day, there are indeed signs for people of understanding. Ayatil li ulil albab. There are ayat, there are signs of who? People of understanding. Allah did not say ayat for the people who have eyes, no. Allah said ayat for people who have understanding. So Allah is saying, who are these people? Those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting and lying down. Alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. People who recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have submitted themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who remember and mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have a connection, 24/7 connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the basis of all their decision making, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the basis of the peace of their minds and the tranquility of their hearts. يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض. And those people, from this foundation of recognizing the Creator, they then research in the creation. When they look at the creation, they reflect on the creation, they think about the creation, they wonder at the creation. And what is the automatic result of this sequence of learning, of first recognizing the Creator and having a connection with Him, and then of researching creation. The automatic result of that is Rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batilan subhanak faqina adhaban nar. Oh our Rabb, you have not created this in vain. You have not created this in play. You have not created all of this for nothing. Subhanak, all glory and majesty be to you. Faqina adhaban nar, save me from the fire. Automatically the person thinks of his own akhirah. And then the ayat after that, which are not directly related to the issue of Qalbun Salim, but I want to mention them because they continue with this whole issue. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدَ قُزَيْتَ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. Oh Allah, if you, those who you have entered into the fire, they have no hope and they will find nobody to help them. Oh Rabbana innana sami'na munadiyan yunadi lil imani anna aminu bi rabbikum fa amanna. Oh Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyatina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Allah mentioned the Sahaba and he said that they say, who are these people understanding? They say, oh, Ya Rabb, we heard your munadi. We heard your announcer. Who is the munadi of Allah? Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Rabbana innana sami'na. Oh our Rabb, definitely, verily, truly, we heard the munadi. What did he say? He said, have faith in your Rabb. Munadi yunadi lil imani an aminu bi rabbikum. He said, bring iman in your Rabb. Fa amanna, and we brought iman and we accepted. This is the conversation of the Sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning them. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive our sins. Wa kaffir anna sayyatina, and wipe them out so that there is no trace of them. One is to forgive. You can forgive something but you remember it. You can forgive something but it is written. It is there in the book, it has been crossed out, there is no punishment involved with it, but it is still written in the book. وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّيَّاتِنَا. Oh Allah, remove the sign of it. Make the writers forget. Make the book clean. Because this is the wa'ad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah forgives, even the malaika will forget. وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّيَّاتِنَا. Let there be no sign at all that I ever disobeyed you. وَتَوَفَّرَ مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. And make me die with Al-Abrar. With those who have reached the position of Al-Bir. With the Mujahideen, fi sabilillah. With the Shuhada, fi sabilillah. With the Salihin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Make me their companion when I die. I make this dua for all of you. And I make this dua saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, the ones who said this, they said, Samena munadiya yunadi lil iman. We heard the one. And I say, Ya Allah, we did not hear him. We did not hear his beautiful voice. Still we obey. Still we have faith. So have mercy on us. Have mercy on us because we deserve your mercy. Forgive us because we deserve your forgiveness. Forgive us because only you can forgive. Forgive us because we are sinners. Who will you forgive except the sinners? Oh Allah, your forgiveness, the greatness of your forgiveness depends on the greatness of the sins you forgive. And who is a bigger sinner than me? And who are bigger sinners than ourselves? So Allah, glorify yourself and glorify your forgiveness by forgiving me and forgiving you all. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين